trust like me. When you read the Bible, don't chase feelings. Chase Jesus. Sometimes people be like, well, I just don't feel anything. Hey, man, your feelings aren't the dictator of truth nor the direction of your life. Truth informs your feelings. If you're willing to open the Bible, also open your heart and open your mouth and pray to the God you may or may not believe in and say, if you're real, reveal yourself to me in the scripture. Bible plans. My only caution with Bible plans would be to encourage someone, make sure you're not just trying to get through the plan.
You have the New King James, the King James, the NIV. What's your take on all that?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to like what chapter, mm-hmm. what verse, how do you know like where to go?
Yeah.
Bruh, the more I keep thinking about it, the more I'm just like, I really am just grateful I have you as a like almost like a dictionary to like just reference whenever I have any questions. And lately, I almost wanted to have this conversation over the phone, but I'm like, we might as well do it on the podcast because I think it could help a lot of people. Because I'm just realizing that, yeah, I want to read the Bible more, but I don't know how to approach reading the Bible. And I think that like, although it seems like a simple thing, the more I like challenge myself to like, I'm just asking myself, how do you do that? The more I realize it's not. So my goal out of this conversation is to leave understanding, like as a believer, how to approach reading the Bible. Because I think everybody knows, yeah, you got to read the Bible every day.
Mm-hmm.
But then what does that mean? Does that mean, okay, you look at a Bible verse in your Bible app and you're just like, cool? Mm-hmm. Or does that mean that you actually take the time to like decide on what to read? And then if you're deciding, like, do you read for an hour? Do you read for 30 minutes? There's so many different like nuances about it. And like, I know, like, just so you know, I know there's no like right or wrong. Like, I know it's not like God says you have to read it this way, but I think just giving like general ideas on like how to go about it could help, because it's like, it's interesting. You know what I mean? So like,
bring some intentionality and wisdom to the conversation rather than just this vague encouragement with no idea how to actually live it out or apply it.
Exactly.
With something as important as the Bible.
Exactly. Exactly. So, all right. So, as a Christian, you're told all the time, read the Bible, right? We all know we should do it. I think part of the reason why it's hard to do is because it's hard to figure out how to approach it. You know, there's Bible plans. Yeah. There's the Bible app. You get a Bible verse every day. You know what I mean? But how do you go about it? Do you start the morning off? Do you with the Bible? Do you end your night with the Bible? Do you pray to God saying, "Hey, am I supposed to like tell me what to read?" And then He tells you what to read. These are things that I just don't know. You know what I mean? So like, all right. So as a believer, if somebody were to ask you, "Yo, how do I read the Bible?" What would you say?
It's a great question, man. And I would start by saying, remember, the Bible is not just for intellectual consumption. God has given us His word to fellowship with Him. God has given us His word not to read it as just some abstract exercise, but to relationally commune with Him. And in faith, as we breathe in Scripture, we breathe out prayer and praise and worship. Reading the Bible is a relational thing. It's not just checking off a box. It's spending time with the Lord who speaks to us through His word. So we have to come to the Bible in faith, in confident trust that God is who He says He is and He has revealed Himself in Scripture. We have to come to the Bible in worship, wanting to praise and know and delight in this God who has revealed Himself and saved us and who bids us to call Him Father and calls us children through His Son. But more practically, you got to come to the Bible humbly. The Bible's the word of the living God. We don't dictate what it says, or we don't, we receive what it says. And we surrender and we rejoice and we obey what it says. So you have to approach the Bible humbly. I think it's important to come to the Bible prayerfully. David himself, the man after God's own heart, wrote all these Psalms. King David in Psalm 119 verse 18 said, "Open the eyes of my heart, that I may behold wondrous things in your law." So we ought to pray before we read the Bible to say, "God, help me. God, by your Holy Spirit who inspired this scripture, illuminate the truth of scripture by helping helping my mind and heart to grasp the scripture and all of its beauty. God, help me to not just read words on a page, but to hear from you through these words. Help me to see the glory of Christ and to commune with him and to delight in him and to be encouraged by the Lord Jesus. Change me, make me more like him. Show me the path through your word. We have to approach the Bible humbly and prayerfully, relationally, with serious joy. This is soul stuff. It overflows to the whole of life, but you're feeding your soul when you're reading scripture. The Bible is the real soul food, if you know what I'm saying, my brother. And we ought to read the Bible eager to obey. Eager to obey, because we don't just want to be hearers of the word, memorizers, readers of the word, but doers of the word.
No, and I love that you're laying that foundation down, because I think what it does is it at least kind of says, look, there's no like specific rules on how to read this. Like that, because I have questions, and we're gonna get into it, specifics like the tangible way to go about reading it. But what you're explaining, I think, touches on the fact that, look, this is how you need to approach just the book in general. You need to come at it from this perspective. Come at it first with like you just said it all. I don't have to repeat it. So I think that like that's great, and I think that like I think that that's like what, if anything, I do know. Praying before the reading Bible is a good thing, and reading it humbly and open to being transformed and from a place of trust and faith. But then even still, it's like, yo, all right, well then still tactfully, now there's no right or wrong, but some advice will be helpful, because you know, because it's like, all right, like some chapters in the Bible you're just reading. And then someone and Joseph begot Paul, and Paul begot Timmy, and Timmy, you know, so it's like, do I just open it? Because sometimes, if we're just being real, I could pray to God, hey God, show me what to read. And then after that prayer, not know what to do.
Let me speak more practically, because I wanted to first speak to foundationally,
100%.
How we approach the Bible is in faith. It's relational with the Lord, communing with God, and worship, all of those things. But now I want to speak intentionally and practically of how to approach it in wisdom, how to interpret the scriptures. And I think we have to approach scripture asking question, or reading whatever we choose to read. I'm gonna answer that in a minute but good questions to ask when you read, say, a chapter, a paragraph, a passage, a verse. Good questions to ask is, what does this text mean, and why does it matter? And I think meaning is so important, because in our culture, in our time, it is a cool thing to ask the question, what does this passage mean to you? But that's not a good question to ask at all. And what people, I hope they mean by that is, how does this passage apply to you? That's a great question. What does this passage mean to you is actually not a good question at all. Because when we pursue the meaning of a particular scripture, of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, or Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, or David's Psalm, chapter 23, the meaning is found in what the author intended to say. It's not found in what you think it is. The meaning is found in what the author was trying to say with the words he used, with the grammar he used, with the context he used, with the literary. And let me just say this, the Bible, when it was written, it was often written for specific reasons to a specific audience or congregation or people. The Bible is or was timely, and it's also timeless. Like Genesis was written to the nation of Israel in the plains of Moab before they went into the promised land. But it's written for us, for the people of God from all time. So that context is important.
You touched on a lot of things, so let's slow down. Because you're saying a lot of good points. Because one, and it's very hard to do, but what you're saying is, hey, don't look at a Bible verse and like just you know, just try to like figure out what this means to you. But look at a Bible verse and say, what is the Bible telling me?
Yes.
Because you can, and if you look at like people who've, you know, misused the Bible, or people who've, you know, interpret things wrong, it's because you're instilling your own will mm-hmm. on the text versus mm-hmm. taking
yeah.
what's supposed to be taken from the text
yeah.
to you.
And like, that's why I say read the Bible humbly.
It's a hard thing to do, though. So like, you and your wife put me on to this Bible right here, mm-hmm. the study Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this one specifically is in the ESV, which is the English Standard Version, which I love because mm-hmm. you told me that this is essentially like Hebrew turned into English. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's not like translation, mm-hmm. and you're getting the watered down version. Mm-hmm. This is the
from those manuscripts earlier,
from the manuscripts,
straight from the Hebrew, Aramaic, and the Old Testament. And straight from the Greek in the New Testament, right into English.
And it's not like all the other versions of the Bible aren't, you know, good. But I like the fact that the English Standard Version is like, and we'll get into the versions. Mm. But essentially, why I love the fact that you guys put me on this Bible is it shows you, like, the context that you're speaking on. Because I don't know. How would I know Paul was in Rome if I can't read in this study Bible in the notes, oh, he was in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I think that like it's important to do that, but it's not necessarily like common knowledge, or mm-hmm. it doesn't come automatically from reading the book.
And let me say this too. When I say, you know, what does this passage mean, is getting at the author's intent, because the author has the authority to determine the meaning, not the reader. Like, you wouldn't read a novel today and then try to tell your friends what you think it means, when no, the author wrote it with a specific purpose. The author has the authority. So, but like, what I don't mean is you got to be this crazy Bible scholar. No, you can be the average Christian that's following Jesus and walking with the Lord. What I mean is Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You shouldn't ask, what does that mean to me? Well, it means that God is my barber, because he, like, no, it doesn't say that. It says the Lord is my shepherd. So what that tells us, how that applies to us, is, man, in and of myself, I am a wayward sheep. But God is a good shepherd. And God is a shepherd who provides all of my needs, such that when he's my shepherd, I don't lack anything.
No, yeah. 100%.
And that's just taking the Bible for what it is. Reading scripture and letting scripture speak for itself in its plain, normal sense of language. You don't got to go all overly spiritual and try to find some secret meaning. No, God has revealed his word in such a way so that we can understand it. So pay attention to the context. Let the author determine the meaning. And receive that glorious truth, because the meaning of scripture is what scripture means, and it's true, and it does apply to you. It does speak to you. But that's in the realm of applying it to your life, not determining the meaning. We don't do that.
No, you say a lot of things that like take a while for them to sink in with me. And like, I love the fact that you're giving examples, because it helps bring context for me to understand. Like, now I really understand what you were saying when you say come at the Bible humbly. Because really, it's like, okay, yeah, you could get the study Bible, which I recommend. You know what I mean? Like, because it does give that context of like, oh, they were in Rome, or for every verse. But at the same time, like, what you're saying is, hey, look, you don't got to do all that mm-hmm. necessarily, although that may not be a bad thing. What you could do is just say, all right, instead of me just, what is this telling me?
Yeah.
You know, like in the simplest form, let me not, you know, over concoct this. Mm-hmm. Let me be humble enough to be, you know, shepherded
mm-hmm.
versus trying to, you know, instill my will onto this, you know,
what I'm reading. Let me just say it like this more simply. When you read the Bible and approach the Bible humbly and in faith, we receive the meaning of scripture. We don't impose meaning upon the scripture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, 100%.
We receive it how God has revealed it and inspired it by the Spirit through the authors.
Okay, so then let's get into specific questions. And I know that they're somewhat ignorant questions, but it's just somebody has to put some type of something on it. Like, mm-hmm. well, it helps, right?
Yeah.
So, the Bible. Do you have to read it every day? For one,
it is best for a Christian to read the Bible every day.
Of course, and I figured that would be the answer, because it's like you don't. The Bible there's no says, half to anything.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Bible commands us to meditate upon the scriptures. Reading the Bible every day is like brushing your teeth every day. It's like eating food every day. Jesus says to pastors that they ought to preach the word, because when they do so, it feeds his sheep. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We feed our souls and we feast on the glory of Christ when we read scriptures. So I would say read the Bible every day. For one, because it's commanded, but also because you get to. Yeah. For majority of church history, people didn't have Bibles. It wasn't until the Reformation with Martin Luther and John Calvin and all them cats that they ended up translating scripture into the common language of people so that regular Christians can have Bibles. It is such a blessing to have the Bible, and we get to read it every day, to hear from the Lord in scripture, and to commune with him, and to feed our souls, and to walk with Christ.
That's 100% though, because like I would admit, every day that I start off, because it's my goal, I don't achieve it every day, mm-hmm. but it is my goal to like start the morning off reading the Bible, and then, you know, do everything else. Don't look at the phone first, don't, you know, check the email. Straight to the Bible, straight to prayer with God, and then start the day. Mm-hmm. Whenever I start my day like that, I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty much like a better day.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And like I think I heard Miles Monroe say, Jesus spent an hour with God in the morning so he could spend minutes with the world, but we spend hours with the world and minutes with God when it could be vice versa. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think,
and I would say this too. You know, you never want to get overly legalistic, rulish, or weird.
I do want to avoid that in this conversation, too, yeah.
The Bible tells us we ought to read God's word. We're people of the book as Christians, and that is commanded, and that is for the good of our souls,
yeah.
and for our walk with Jesus. But if you're not a morning person, it's okay to read the Bible at night before you go to bed.
Of course.
If you have that free time, or when you are able to make time, if that's in the afternoon, great, read it in the afternoon. So I think, you know, that you got to make that work for you. You got to make that work for your lifestyle. Because if you're a young mom with three kids and you and your husband, or, you know, whatever the situation is, you're getting ready in the morning, you got to dress them, they got to get to school. Reading the Bible in the morning may not be the best time. If you got to work at 5, it may just be really hard to wake up at 3. And so you just got to think intentionally and prioritizing God's word.
Yeah.
Because you're prioritizing the Lord and spending time with him, and how that looks for you, that's where that Christian liberty is. That's where that freedom is.
Of course.
It should be a priority, but how that plays out, that you just got to figure that out, and you got to stick to it. And that's that'll real. Be such a blessing in your life.
And I love that you said that, because, yeah, like, everybody's different. Everybody has a whole different, you know, situation going on. But at the same time, I think, like,
but the morning is a good start.
Oh, no, yeah, I mean, but yeah, but everybody can do it their own way. But then outside of that, though, there's a guilt that you can get sometimes, right? If you haven't read the Bible in a couple of days, you know what I mean? And, like, is that guilt a healthy guilt? You know, because everybody, you know, lately I've been on the I'm going off the rails here a little bit, but lately I've been on a tangent of like, we give ourselves too much grace. Like I think, like, you know, you hear people say, you know, give yourself grace. I understand that that's probably the answer here, but like, just, you know, you hear people say all the time, like, you know, that I haven't read my Bible in a while, and then, you know, it's comforted with, it's okay. Is it okay? Mm-hmm. You know, like, is it like, it like, or is that guilt something that like maybe might be like an unction to, mm-hmm. maybe you should be.
Yeah.
I don't know. And look, this is soft stuff. Like, this is, I don't want to, is this someone's opinion baited?
I definitely think that if you are a Christian, you know and trust the Lord Jesus, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God lives in you, and he is working in your life, making you more like Jesus, using you for the glory of Jesus in this world. And the Holy Spirit does convict us when we are in sin or when we aren't walking with the Lord how we should. And if someone is neglecting God's word in a real kind of disobedient or callous way, then I do think that the Spirit can convict you to say, you need to be in the word.
Yeah.
Sometimes that type of guilt can be overly pietistic. And what I mean by that is you're just overly introspective. Like, your whole relationship with the Lord is based upon your consistency of reading scripture, when actuality, we are right with God because of the finished work of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because we're forgiven and his blood has washed away our sins, because we're clothed with his righteousness through the gospel.
Yeah.
Even on your best days following Jesus, you still need the grace of Jesus.
100%.
Even on your worst days following Jesus, you still need the grace of Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll never have that good of a Christian day to where you outrun the need for grace.
Yeah.
And you'll never have so bad a Christian day that you have maxed out the grace of God. No, so it can be a thing that's overly pietistic.
Yeah.
Or it could be the Holy Spirit convicting you for something that should be a priority.
No, 100%. So then, all right. But then when it comes down to what chapter, what verse, how do you know where to go?
Yeah.
Now, you know what I mean?
This, my answer here, let me just make it plain. My answer here is totally just wisdom. I hope to convey encouragement, things that have worked for me. I think we should pull from scripture that we should read the whole counsel of God, meaning all of the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. But for a Christian, I think you have to live in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because that's where we see most clearly the glory of Christ, the life, death, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. As followers of Christ, as those who are united with Christ, we should want to daily keep the glory of Christ before our eyes, and the Spirit will then conform us to the image of Christ, and we'll love others as Christ has loved us. We just want to fill ourselves to overflowing with Jesus. So I think it's so great to always be in the Gospels. And that can look like a chapter a day. You got to figure that out. A chapter a day, I think, is healthy. I am just a person, I love to read the Psalms. The Psalms are Israel's worship book, Israel's prayer book, and I love to read the Psalms, a psalm of day, and I read them and I pray through them, and I seek to see how they apply to my life and speak to my life and what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And I use the Psalms as kind of launch pads for my own prayers, and I'm wanting to read the Old Testament more, so I'm reading through the Old Testament. I'm only in Deuteronomy, and I just read a chapter from there. And then if I have more time, I'll pick a New Testament book that I want to read. But if you just want to start out, you're at a place where you're like, man, I just want to get going, I think it's a great place to start out with Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John.
Yeah.
Pick one of those books. Read one chapter a day.
Yeah.
If you really want to grow and garner some real depth, what I did for a really long time and still do in some measure is I read one chapter for a week. Stick with that chapter for 7 days straight. And then the next week I go to the next chapter, and daily I'm praying, God, the riches of your word are endless.
Yeah.
We never graduate from the truths of scripture. We've never read it all to where we just need to move on. And it's amazing how scripture tells us not to just read it, but to meditate on it, to let scripture marinate in our hearts and soul, like you let good seasoning marinate with some food before you cook it. You know what I'm saying? So when I read through scripture slowly, rather than just wanting to get through it so I can say, oh, I got through this book, I often read through it slowly, and I read chapters over. And you can do it for 3 days. It don't have to be a week. It can be whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I read through scripture slowly a lot because I want to read for depth, not just breadth of saying, oh, I read through this much. But I think a great place to start is a chapter a day with the Gospels. You can go a chapter a day in the Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. There's usually 30 days in the month.
Yeah.
So you can read chapter a day in the Gospels, spend some time with the Lord Jesus in a real explicit way. Take whatever the date is and read that chapter in Proverbs. Pray through a psalm. And I think that's a great place to start.
Man, I love what you're saying because I think it touches on a couple of things. One, you don't have to, from what you're saying, a couple of things. So I did like a Bible plan where it was like, if you read, like they outline certain Bible verses for you. And essentially, if you read whatever was outlined for you for that day, for 365 days, you would have read the whole Bible. And I remember reading that, like, making it more of my goal to like finish than to like to say I read the whole Bible, like, or just to have read the whole Bible than it was to like soak in the information. But I was trying to soak in the information, and like I love the fact that like what you're hitting on really says like you can never read the Bible too much, one, and then two, like it's you can find your pace in it. And because honestly, like I just recently started reading the Gospel of Matthew, right? And this is my first time reading it through and through, because normally I'm doing Bible plans. That was my go-to for a while.
And let me say this. I highly encourage, read through books of the Bible. Read through, like you just said, Matthew.
It's a whole different experience, bro. It's a whole different thing.
What you don't want to do is popcorn read scripture.
Bro, the popcorn,
you just take a scripture here, a scripture there. Because then you got stuff out of context. Bro. You're not getting the flow of it. So if you're going to read through a gospel, read through the Gospel of Matthew, all 28 chapters. You're going to read through the Gospel of John, read through the Gospel of John, all 21 chapters. If you're going to read through the book of Romans because you want to learn more about Christian doctrine and the Christian life, read through the whole book of Romans chapter by chapter. Same thing with Ephesians. Same thing in the Old Testament with Deuteronomy or Ecclesiastes. You help yourself to respect context when you read through a book,
it's just popcorn reading scripture. It's easier to read that way. I've been popcorning for a long time. You know, the Bible app has been my go-to. I never thought I'd be somebody who has one of these leathers at the crib. You know what I mean? I'm like, but no, honestly, like, I mean, you could read the Bible without the leather. But I'm just saying, like, now that I'm reading like these chapters like one by one, I'm realizing, It just makes so much more sense, and it's easier to follow. And to be honest, it sticks more. Like, I never understood how like you got Bible verses down. Like, you'll be like, just like in Matthew 7, just like in, you know, John 5. And I'm always like, I don't know how this man is it. But now that I'm taking my time, just doing a chapter a day, I'm like, it sticks more. You know what I mean? Because I'm now, like, you talk about Matthew 5, I'm like, oh, I remember that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
that's how the Spirit works, man. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, look, there's no rules to, like you said, but what you're saying aligns with my experience because it's literally been easier for me to do it that way.
That's reading through a book rather than popcorn reading. That's wise.
You know what?
And let me say this. The Bible is 66 books, one message. It's the word of God, but these books were revealed over time. So when the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans to the church in Rome at the time, the Christian church in Rome, they read that whole letter.
All right, so then there's like, Bible versions, right? So like you have the New King James, the King James, the NIV. What's your take on all that?
So I think it's important to know that Bible translations are not translated like that telephone game you played as a kid, where you start off, you got a line of like 12 people, and you start off by saying something to this person, and then they have to tell it to the next person. They have to tell it to the next person. And then by the end, you're like, is it the same thing? And it's always something different. That's not how the Bible translated. We have those thousands upon thousands of Hebrew and Greek manuscripts that we translate directly from. So the different English translations we have, those are from the Greek and Hebrew. the original words in which the Bible was written that we have to verify that we have the true word of God. Now, the different English translations, though, they get at different translation styles. You have some word-for-word translations that are more focused on translating into English best you can, word-for-word Hebrew and Greek. And then you have some dynamic equivalence translations, which just mean we're going to look at the Hebrew and Greek, translate it, and then put it in English more of a thought-for-thought. Like what was being said, like the main thought that was trying to be conveyed in the Hebrew and Greek, we're going to put that main thought in the English.
No, I got
but you. Then you got some translations that are really just like paraphrases. They're not close to the Hebrew and Greek.
Yeah.
And they're more of interpretations. And like they're not saying false stuff, but they're not really translated from the Hebrew
so
and Greek.
So let's get into it then. So then, okay, for starters, you have, let's go with the most common. For the longest, I've been rocking with the NIV.
Mm-hmm.
Break down the NIV.
The NIV is a dynamic equivalence translation. It's more of a thought for thought, okay. But it's excellent. Of the thought for thought translations, as far as I know, and I ain't no Bible translator.
Yeah.
I know Hebrew and Greek a little bit to be able to make sure when I preach sermons, I'm being faithful.
Yeah.
So I'm speaking just best I can.
Yeah.
There's scholars and people that know this better than me. But the NIV is more of a thought for thought translation, but it's the best thought for thought translation you can get. It is a faithful,
so
helpful translation.
Just so I'm clear. So thought for thought is different than word for word how you're breaking this down. So you're saying it's essentially like the same general idea, but it's not the same word for word. Okay, simple. So then New King James and King James. What's up with that?
Yeah, so King James was a good translation in the 1600s. And the New King James, in some ways, is an update of that translation from the 1600s.
Word for word, thought for thought, where's that?
It was translated somewhat word for word, but that was Old English.
But Old English.
So, like, I don't think, you know, the King James is classic, it's good, but if I'm going to preach a message, if I'm encouraging a young person, or just a person in general, a Christian or non-Christian to read the Bible, I'm not going to tell them to read a Bible where the English is difficult for them.
Yeah.
And that's something the NIV does so well. It puts things in understandable English. So then, it's great. And then some of the more word-for-word translations, if you were to read, that's the ESV, the English Standard Version.
Yeah.
That's the Christian Standard Bible. That's the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, the Legacy Standard Bible. Those are going to claim to be more word-for-word translations. I like the ESV.
And that, bro,
it's not a huge thing.
To me, bro, I'm ESV.
It's just been a good translation
but
for me.
But it's not the same.
Like, but this is no... The NIV is great. The ESV is great.
Not one's better
great.
Than the other.
The LSV is great.
Last one, because I just ran across this Bible. I wasn't even too familiar with it for longs, but there's the Message Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your thought on the Message Bible? Because I was, before you put me on the ESV, whenever I couldn't understand something, I would go to the Message Bible because out of all the versions, to me, that one's like, hey, yo, so this will happen.
If I remember correctly, Eugene Peterson is the man that translated and kind of did the Message Bible. And I think he did it like for his daughter or something like that.
Oh, really?
To help her just understand more. But it was never meant to be this like Bible that people read as their main intake of Bible reading.
Mm.
It's very much so a paraphrase.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be this translation from the Hebrew and Greek. It's a paraphrase. And I think when someone knows that, it can be a helpful resource.
When you put it like
but
that,
but it shouldn't
yeah.
be what a pastor's preaching from.
Mm.
I don't think that's wise.
Okay.
That's my preference. That's my opinion. I don't think that's wise. And I just think that the NIV or the ESV is a much better Bible translation to use for your daily Bible intake than the Message. The Message can be helpful for, like you said, looking up certain stuff. Or there's something called Streetlights Bible that I love. It's this ministry and app where they read through books of the Bible over hip-hop beats. It's so cool. It's like one of the coolest things ever. It's called Street Lights Bible. Yes, okay, they read over books in the Old Testament, New Testament, over hip hop beats. And they use a translation called the New Living Translation, which is more of a paraphrase. It's not as far as the Message, but it's more of that genre of the arena of translation.
Yeah.
But that's perfect to be read over some hip hop beats.
No.
You know what I'm saying? The ESV wouldn't be good for that.
That sounds crazy.
So it's good for certain things, but I don't think that should be the main Bible intake, and certainly not what pastors are preaching from.
100%. So then what about like Bible plans? So because you know, like there's a lot of Bible plans available. Mm-hmm. Like what are your...
I think Bible plans are helpful. Bible plans are great, and they train you and help to discipline you to read the whole counsel of God, because the average Christian will probably lean towards the Gospels and the epistles, the letters in the New Testament, which is great, but we should read the Old Testament too. You know, we should read the law, we should read the prophets, we should read the minor prophets and all those things.
Yeah.
So the Bible plans help you to take in the whole counsel of Scripture, because it's all God's word, it's all glorious, it's all wonderful, it's all true. And there are a lot of good Bible plans. My only caution with Bible plans would be to encourage someone, make sure you're not just trying to get through the plan.
Yeah.
Make sure you are reading the word, digesting the word, meditating on the word, and really spending time with the Lord as you read it. Yeah. Not just trying to get through this plan to say I've read through it in a year. But there's tons of great Bible reading plans.
No, 100%. So then I guess this is something I really want to touch on, because I think it applies to a lot of people. So if you're reading the Bible and you don't believe in the message. So if you're like someone who's not a Christian and you're like, oh, okay, so this is the book that you guys swear by. How do you approach it reading from that point? Because to your point on like the Jonah, right? I remember when I didn't believe. You read some of these Bible stories and it's like, y'all believe this?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got swallowed by a whale and blah, blah. Y'all rocking with, you know what I mean? So it's like, if you don't believe and you're like, all right, well, you know what? Let me give this a chance. Where do you go? And if you think about it, it's not, typically that chance isn't going to be that big of a chance. Mm-hmm. So, well, man, who knows? But I'm just saying, like, how do you approach it when that's mm-hmm. where you're at?
Yeah, if someone is not a believer, not a Christian, I would, for one, encourage you with Romans 1 says that really there is no person that doesn't believe in God. There's only people that suppress the truth of God. God has revealed himself and made himself clear generally in creation, inwardly in your conscience. And if you're not rocking with it, you just suppress that truth. And I would encourage you that if you are curious enough, humble enough to open up the Bible, praise the Lord. I'm grateful for that, my brother, my sister. That's great. And I want to encourage you with Jeremiah 29, verse 13. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. If you're willing to open the Bible, also open your heart and open your mouth and pray to the God you may or may not believe in and say, if you're real, reveal yourself to me in the Scripture. And read the Gospel of John. Start off with the Gospel of John. Go straight to the source and the sum of Christianity, that is Christ. And the Gospel of John is literally written. In John, he tells us towards the end, it's literally written, John 20, verse 31, but this is written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John wrote that book to help people come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Holy Spirit anointed Son from the Father, the Savior, King, and the Son of God. That's why he wrote that book. So I would say start with the Gospel of John and say a prayer to the God that you say you don't believe in. Pray to him and ask him to show you the truth. And I believe he will. But I would also say, don't just read the Bible on your own. Have courage. Have humility. Step into a faithful, a good local church where the Bible is being preached, and not popcorn preach, verse here, verse there, and just entertainment stuff. No, no, no. Go to a church where the Bible's being preached, verse by verse, in its context, where the gospel's being preached. And don't just read the Bible, but listen to the Bible preached by a faithful pastor. Mm. Because the Spirit works through the Word when it's read and also when it's preached. Mm. And Romans chapter 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ.
Man, I love that. And I did not know. Back to your point on, like, what was the intentionality behind the writing? I didn't know that John was written with that intent. And there's, just for clarity, there's like John and then there's like First John. You're talking mm-hmm. about John.
Yeah, yeah, the Gospel of John.
Okay, cool.
Same author, but different.
And then was John Jesus' brother, or what was
no, John was just one of his apostles.
Who was Jesus? James.
James was Jesus' half brother.
Half brother, because he didn't have the okay. Because Jesus had a pop. Okay, cool. Well, he did have a dad, but his dad was God. Okay, cool. All right. So then, I think that's good, and I think it touches on. I didn't even know that was the intent of John, which is great. And I think you also touched on how it's not just a intellectual thing, but it's also, it is a spiritual thing. So when, if you are getting ready to open the Bible to give it, to put it to test, which, or whatever, however you want to frame it, make sure that God's involved in that action, is what mm-hmm. you're saying. Yeah, pray yeah. about it. Hey, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. Yeah. Like that.
Because the God of Scripture is real, but speaking to this person, if God is God, that means you're a creature. That means you are a finite creature whom he created. And in him, you live and move and have your being. Your heart won't even beat apart from his hand in your life. The mind you use to suppress the truth of his existence is sustained and upheld by him. You may think, yeah, you're putting God to the test, but you can't put God in the witness stand. God is God.
and God bless you for keep reminding us too. Like, you know, say.
So that ain't the approach with the Lord. And that's what I'm saying. If you want to do it humbly, if you want to do it for real, you got to think about, this is God I'm dealing with. The maker, the creator, the sustainer, the eternal father, who has eternally loved and existed with his son in the fellowship of the eternal Holy Spirit. This is God.
Yeah.
You ain't putting him to the test.
No, yeah.
You are coming to him, and you ought to worship.
No,
But he's glorious, and he is ready to receive you.
So then, okay, last thing. Walk us through your process. Because, to be honest, like, this is, I think, very helpful in knowing how to approach the Bible. But I think there's still, like, I could read the Gospels, I could read this, but maybe that's why plans are good, because plans tell you what to read, but it's like, when you're making the decision on your own, it can still be a little interesting. So I think hearing just your process, like, it's your process. It's not what you're telling everybody they have to do. But what is your process? And I know, like, you're a pastor, so, like, there's preparing for the word. But what's your process for just internal, like, just for you type of Bible study?
So right now I'm reading the Gospel of Matthew.
Oh, wow. We align there.
So I'm going to read the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26 this whole week I've been reading.
Pause. How did you make the decision to read Matthew?
Because I'm on a constant rotation between the four Gospels.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So then what about the other books? When do you get to those?
Other books in the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'll read a chapter from one of the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read through one of the Psalms, and I just start from Psalm 1, and day by day, I'm just Psalm 2, Psalm 3. Oh,
so
3.
It's not like you're just doing the Gospels.
No.
Okay,
yeah. No, I'm reading multiple things. So I'm going to start, and I'm going to read a chapter from one of the Gospels that I'm reading. And I'm reading through the whole Gospel. So Matthew 26, then 27. So read through Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Then I'm going to read the next Psalm that I'm at. And I'm reading through the book of Deuteronomy right now, because I want to read a book in the Old Testament. So I'm going to read the next chapter that I'm reading in a Deuteronomy. I'm just going chapter by chapter. And then if I have the time, I'm going to read one of the letters of the New Testament as well.
And
I just make a choice.
No, and see, and that's what I think, like, is like also important to touch on, because like sometimes, and I've done this, you can over spiritualize it, where it's like, dear God, show me what to read. And it's like, if you don't feel like you got that, my son, read X, Y, Z.
Yeah,
it can feel like, how do I even know I'm doing this the right way? But what you're saying is, look, like, pray about it, but just make a choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And God is behind decisions, whether they feel ordained or not.
Mm-hmm.
He's in 100% control regardless.
And like, God speaks to us through His Word, through the Scripture. So you want to hear God's voice, you got to open the Bible.
In
2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, all Scripture is breathed out by God, all of it, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And the verse before that says that the Old Testament makes you wise for salvation in Jesus. And then Psalm chapter 19 speaks of the Scriptures and says, the law of the Lord is perfect.
Man, I gotta get like you,
reviving the soul. And then it goes on to say, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So pick one of the Gospels and read through one of the Gospels, chapter by chapter, day by day. Read through the Psalms. Pray through the Psalms, a chapter, day by day. Pick a book in the Old Testament. Pick one of the letters of the New Testament, and God will work through His Word. Don't over-spiritualize it. Choose it and pray, Lord, meet me here. Help me to behold the glory of Jesus.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, illuminate my heart and mind. And God will meet you in His Word, regardless of what you pick.
And to your point, you just validated every part of the Bible, the old, the new, the middle.
And that's what it means, that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Whatever you pick, God is going to meet you there.
Mm.
And even if you pick, say, Matthew 1, and it's just a bunch of genealogies.
Yeah.
David had Solomon had da-da-da-da. You know what that genealogy showing you? Starting all the way from Abraham to get to Jesus, it's telling us, the genealogy of Jesus testifies to the mission of Jesus.
Yeah.
Abraham was a fallen man. He was a sinner. Noah was a fallen man. He was a sinner, though he was used by God. David, fallen man. Solomon, fallen man. But it all led to Jesus, who is the savior of sinners and fallen men and women. So even the genealogy has a phenomenal point. One, that prophecy is fulfilled. Jesus really is the son of Abraham.
Word.
Because the Messiah, the savior, has to come through the line of Abraham. Jesus really is the descendant of David. Why? Because the eternal king is going to be a descendant of King David. Jesus really is the savior that was promised from Genesis 3. And he's the savior of broken and fallen people that you see all through this genealogy.
Bro.
And you may think, this is so random, this is so pointless. No, it's not. You should have a curiosity for the word. Every single word is inspired. Every single word is from the very mouth of God. And it testifies to the glory of Christ. He will meet you when you open up His Word.
You don't got to overcomplicate it. You don't got to there's not a wasted page in here. Essentially,
amen. There's not a wasted page of Scripture.
Anything you touch on is going
to
hit.
There is worship. There is worship to be had from every page.
Word. No, 100%. And that's, bro, honestly, just make a choice. Of course, you know, keep God in it. If it don't feel like he's in it anyway. Be good, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Be good.
And like when you read the Bible, don't chase feelings. Chase Jesus. Sometimes people be like, well, I just don't feel anything. Hey, man, your feelings aren't the dictator of truth nor the direction of your life. Truth informs your feelings.
Mm.
Keep reading the truth, and through the truth of God's word and the good news of great joy, the Lord will give you true joy, true peace.
Yeah.
But that comes from the truth. It's informed by the truth. Yeah. So don't read Scripture chasing feelings.
Yeah.
Read Scripture chasing the Lord.
Bro, there it is.